Chuck Chat Technorama for Thursday, October 20th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hygroscopic Margo veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. I'm Chuck Tomasi. Chuck is short for Charles, and with me is Craig Stepp. Craig is short for Craig. How are you tonight, Craig?
I'm okay, man. How you doing?
And we have a special in-studio guest with us tonight. We have Steve. Help me with the last name.
Kabalowski.
Easier said than done.
Yes, absolutely.
Steve is from our local newspaper, the Appleton Post Crescent. Just so happened that we've been trying to line up, and it lined up right now on show number 50. We are very glad to have Steve here. Maybe get some local press out of it. Steve is actually going to be doing his own podcast. We'll sneak that in a little bit. Coming up on tonight, we've got a whole lot of listener feedback. This is a show that you, the listener, have made possible, and we want to thank you for it. We also have some recent news about Gmail in the UK, and we've got our special prize drawing for show number 50. What do you think of that?
I didn't know we could count that high.
If you take off your shoes, my shoes, and the rest of it.
Huh?
Enough about that. We'll be back right after a word from our sponsor. If you organize conference calls or hold business meetings with remote clients, you can use GoToMeeting to keep everyone on the same page and make your meetings more effective. It's helped our members at TechPodcast.com stay organized, made planning much easier, and saved us time. Best of all, it's affordable for both small and large businesses. GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try their web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast for your free trial now. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold business meetings. On this day in tech history for October 20th, 2005. It is October 20th. This is the 293rd day of the year, according to the Gregorian calendar, which I believe most of us are still using. And there are only 72 days remaining in 2005. The final installment of the J.R.R. Tolkien novel, The Lord of the Rings, is published on this date in 1955 with the release of The Return of the King. And in 1973, The $6 Million Man premieres on ABC. Happy birthday on this date goes out to James Chadwick, the Nobel Prize winning English physicist, born on this date in 1891. And in 1958, Viggo Mortensen, the actor who played Aragorn or Strider in the Peter Jackson film version of The Lord of the Rings. And finally, happy birthday to Julie Payette, born on this date in 1963. She's a Canadian astronaut. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 20th, 2005.
Hey, this is Kevin Devon from In the Trenches, and you're listening to Technorama.
Think I got all the mics up? Yep, I do. Welcome back to the show. Hey, I forgot, before we took that break, we need a quiz question. This goes out to all the people on the stream, which it's a considerable audience right now. And Mark is going to monitor the chat room, so hopefully everybody watching the stream is in the chat room. If you're not, go to www.chuckchat.com/webcam, and you'll figure it out from there. Yep. The quiz question for this show is, what is the proper name for a punch card? That would be, you know, one of these things that I write my crafty little notes on. I have a whole shoebox full of them from my high school second programming class. Try to play fair and do not go to the internet and look it up, at least not until after the show has had a chance to be, you know, the answer has been on the show. That would be awful nice of you. I want to know what the proper name for a punch card is. Do you
Rocky?
Know? No, that's something completely different. Like I mentioned, we have a ton of listener feedback. And again, I want to thank everybody who's been listening since the early days of Chuck Chat and Technorama.
Way back when.
We got a rather long letter here from Weber Baker from Dallas, Texas. He gives us his insight into the video iPod. Oh my goodness, hey, if I read that, we would be on show 100 before we finished.
I think this is classified more as a... small pamphlet.
Yeah, it fills up the whole screen on microfont. But in synopsis, where the Cliff Notes version of this is, he said, is not really, you're not paying more for the video iPod to get the video feature, because you notice they released it at the same price point as the predecessor. Mm-hmm. So they didn't tout it as a video iPod. It's an iPod that plays video. So you're getting the added functionality for no additional cost. How's that for a synopsis of that big long letter? They added a feature and didn't charge. A corporate miracle is what it says at the very end. And then I've got a second one here from, I'm going to murder this name, but Marius Modig. I try to use some kind of accent on that, but I can't do it justice. He says, hey, Chuck, I just wanted to let you know that I am not able to download your October 10th Technorama show from iTunes. It gives me an error. The network connection timed out. Just to let you know. I really enjoy your show. Like you say, there are tons of podcasts that talk about all the same new stuff all the time. Your show is different. We're all special in some way. I really like when you bring up the work stuff. I'm an IT guy, and I work on many projects as a team member, but I'm learning, and I hope to manage one day. Your experience as a first-time PM are really interesting. Keep the shows coming. Thanks, Marius. The reason for the 1010 show not being available, I think he wrote this on Monday, and Libsyn was actually having some denial-of-service attacks. They were very brief, and I'm sure some of you probably already heard about that, but they are back online.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Mm. And I heard Andy McCaskey from Slashdot.review mention the same thing. He's got more listeners, so he gets more complaints.
And you know what? He's having more problems, too.
poor guy, man. He's just... Well, his growth has been so phenomenal that he just outgrew every service he had.
He's been a victim of his own success.
Yeah. Gee, we should be so unfortunate, right?
You know, we'll help you out, Andy.
I might get even less sleep than I do now. We also have a call in from our old faithful Lenny.
Hey guys, it's Lenny. Just wanted to call and wish you congratulations on show number 50. I listen to every single one of them. Looking forward to the next 50. And guys, 101.
Thanks, Lenny.
Yeah, appreciate that, bud.
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head in the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
We also have a call in from another one of our more prominent listeners.
Uh-huh.
Chuck, you got another phone call.
Who is it?
Bruce Barr?
OnStar?
Bruce Barr!
Juice Barr?
Bruce Barr!
I don't know what you're trying to tell me. Have him leave a message.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Bruce. This week I'm in Long Island, and I was just wanting to wish you guys great luck on the 30th show. And this is 50 down and 5,000 to go. How about that? Maybe 50,000. So have a great show, guys, and I'll be listening.
You gotta love it when somebody calls so often they get their own theme song.
I don't know, I'm waiting on mine.
Make some calls, man.
I was ready for you to say, we'll keep waiting.
We're going to need a Lenny theme pretty soon. Thanks a lot, Bruce. We really appreciate it. See, Bruce likes to travel, and he takes all his shows with him in bulk. So when he calls, he usually calls about 3 or 4 times.
He queues up his calls.
And should note that the gentleman who put together that little intro for Bruce, Michael R. Menengay, did so on a whim. He was very nice. He also gave us permission to do the one for Mark from Memphis that we covertly swiped from him.
Yeah.
But then he gave us permission the next day, so it's all right. We did okay.
So it's good now, and nobody's hurt, and we can all laugh about it.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast. One final follow-up. We were talking, what was it, the last show or the show before, about the digital x-rays that I had up on Flickr. And yeah. Jorge Schrauwen from Belgium. I hope I'm getting better at saying that name, because my Dutch is abominable.
So is your English.
Yeah, thanks. he asked how much those little receptors were that you put in your mouth that the dentist takes a picture of, and they make the picture go on the computer.
Just the thing in your mouth?
Just the little black thing in your mouth that takes the place of the old cardboard bite wings. $9,000 U.S. dollars.
Those cardboard bite wings are sounding pretty good.
But there's no film processing charge.
Yeah, you know what? My wife works at an animal hospital, and I've seen some of them doing the x-rays there.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the chemicals and the developing and all that. I bet it is worth having a nice machine to sit there and just stick the images on your computer.
Well, I just thought it was surprising when I said, hey, can you email those to me? And they said, sure. And what do? I turn around and put them on Flickr.com.
And then you found out they were copyrighted, and Walmart wouldn't print them out for you.
The strange thing was, I searched for x-ray, and nobody tagged... There must be no x-rays out there on Flickr except mine. That was really bizarre. All right, we're going to cruise along through a couple of news stories real quick.
Sure.
I haven't mentioned in a while on this show, but we still have lots of Gmail invites left. If you want to use Gmail and you haven't been invited yet, you're one of the 3 people left in the world, drop us an email, chuck@chuckchat.com, and I will get one out to you as quickly as possible. I did this for a gentleman in the UK the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, send me and my wife one.
Oh.
So I sent him a response, and I got the response back this morning that he was all set up, and it said, be one of the first to send email to user, I won't say his real name, at googlemail.com rather than Gmail.
Right.
So I turned around and I sent him a message, and I purposely said to user@gmail.com, and I said, this is a test. I want to see if it works. I just was curious. I noticed the domain name had changed. I said, what's up with that? Well, then I get this notice on, I think it went around to all of, you know, Ars Technica, Boing Boing, Dig, Slash Dot. The whole thing blew out today, this morning. He said, as of today, UK Gmail users are seeing Google Mail at the top of their Gmail accounts.
That's right.
And Google is warning that they may lose their @gmail.com addresses in the future. All new signups from the UK will be assigned @googlemail addresses, and existing accounts will be able to use either domain for now.
Yeah,
Gmail's help pages explain the whole thing.
Yeah, there was a company that had the trademark on Gmail, and they successfully sued Google, and so I just hope everybody else's doesn't go away, because I kind of like my address.
We'll put more information to the link on Google Mail, Gmail. That's great. You know, now people won't remember which way to send it. But, well, it's kind of like when you see .co.uk, I guess, instead of .com.
I think they both, they both work because you tested it out. But yeah. I think they're to continue to work. It's just they can't advertise it as Gmail.
It's just amazing how fast information flows. You know, you see something and then you turn around and go, what's up with that? And you see, boom, the news is right there the same
day. Say? What do they say? If you thought about it, somebody else already has.
That's just about it. And then and then you'll see it for the next 2 or 3 days on various sources as well. Do you use Gmail, Steve?
No, I'm not on that yet. I should.
It's pretty neat.
We'll send you an invite.
yeah, do that. I'll be one of your three left.
It's a great spam filter.
Yeah, send me an invite. That'd be great.
I will do that. Okay. I'll need your... Well, I've got your other email address. We can first to get this going. Now, the other neat thing I saw that just had to be put in here because we are geeks and we are Star Trek fans and sci-fi just flows through our veins. The transparent aluminum from Star Trek IV. Did you see that?
I love transparent aluminum.
It was a fictitious thing.
Right, they made it up on the little Mac computer, and Scotty went into this whole thing where he's trying to talk to it.
Computer, he's talking to the mouse. That whole scene, that was great. Stuart Penkin was the guy at the I forget the company name, but I remember the actor who played it because he was on SCTV. Anyway, story short, we're off on a rabbit trail. The military has now made something called transparent armor, which is very similar to it. Hmm. Rather than using the laminated plates of glass to make bulletproof glass, they've significantly reduced the thickness of this to make a protective glass shielding. And it's being the chemical name, or I forgot what it's called, is ALON. They call it Alon, and they've already trademarked that. It's like aluminum oxynitrate or something. I'm sorry, I don't have all the facts in front of me because I'm too lazy to click on the link right in front of my nose. And
you don't have your updated periodical table?
Yes, it's right next to... it's on the periodic table next to...
your slide rule?
Technoramanium.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay.
A little strange for me. Speaking of strange stuff, that was the weakest segue I think I've ever done, but... Tell us what you found. You found a strange, strange picture today.
No, it's not that strange.
I think it's very strange.
I've seen worse. It's Darth Vader and Yoda sculpted out of butter. Apparently, let me pull this up.
This is no 4-inch statue, mind you.
No, it's pretty big. I'm not sure exactly how big it is, but what it is there's the Dairy Farmer Association or whatever, they always have a sculpture like, I think last year I saw a cow made out of butter, or at least 1 year I saw a picture on the internet made of butter, and they do some kind of different one each time. And this is Darth Vader, and I guess it looks like it rotates because there's two pictures. As it comes around, on the back behind the cape of Darth Vader, it molds into a little rock-looking thing, and Yoda's sitting on it, and he's got a butter rock hovering under his hand.
Yeah, how did they do that? How is that suspended from his hand?
I see a string.
It's the force.
Oh, close. It's the force.
It's the force.
The force of the butter.
Yeah, duh.
Hello.
Force, man.
The dairy force. Now, this wouldn't happen to have been in Wisconsin, would it?
I don't know. Would it?
I don't know. I didn't see the source of this.
Well, it wasn't really an article so much as it was the picture. So I was looking to see where it was at.
It was in some American, kind of refrigerated chamber.
It's made by the American Dairy Farmers Association.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No, if it was in cheese, it would have been from Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? I think we should make a sculpture of cheese as a stunt, you know, to get some more publicity for Technorama.
You're commissioning is that the plan?
Yeah. What would we make? Yeah, let's commission it. What would we make out of cheese? You got any suggestions, guys?
Cheese.
Email us.
Cheese.
All right. Death Star.
We will be back right after these massages.
Sunday, Technorama presents Monster Geek Rally. Witness the ultimate in Monster Geek events like the speed cable crimping, extreme programming, ultimate data restore competition, and the equipment rack pull. See such big names as Super Geek, Geekfoot, Debugger, the Hexadecimal, Java Man, and the Emulator. Meet the hosts of Technorama, Chuck and Craig, free pocket protectors of the first 100 kids age 1100 and under. So tape up your glasses and come on down to the Yachtville Data Center Sunday. It's open at 4:43. Monster Geek Rally, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Tickets available at www.chuckchat.com. Brought to you by Technorama.
This is Mark Shepard, and whenever I'm in podcast land, I listen to Chuck and Craig at Chuck Chat Technorama, the place where 101 is just a way of life.
And speaking of Mark Shepard, we're going to check on him in the chat room. Mark, he's how are you?
Hey, he's shepherding Jack. In, everybody.
Hi, Jack.
Do we have,
hi, Craig.
Hey. Do we have an answer to our quiz question tonight?
Yes, we do.
Do we have a specific winner, or did they just all gang rush you?
Well, one of them got it first, and then they all answered after that with the same answer. So I think we have to give it to the first person.
Gee.
And who was our first answerer?
Okay, Mr. Gadgets.
Ah.
The handle of Mr. Gadgets. And he answered Hollereth.
Hollereth is correct. I'm going to jump to the end here. The answer is Hollereth, named after Herman Hollereth, who patented the current design on June 8th. Take a guess at what year?
59, I don't know.
1887.
Oh, my God.
For use in a mechanical tabulating machines.
Cool.
That one knocked my socks off when I saw how old that patent was.
That was my great-great-great-grandfather.
Liar.
Okay, great-grandfather.
All right, Craig, let's jump through some hoops and circles and cover the main stories we have tonight. You hacked one of those CVS camcorders. Have you seen these, Steve?
No, I haven't looked at
them. It's a disposable camcorder, but Craig hacked it, and he put some pictures up on Flickr and put in a USB port. So when you're done recording, you can download the stuff. How do you actually delete it and reset it again?
Well, Chuck, what you do is you download these drivers and the program to operate it. You don't really plug it up and use it as an external drive like some of the new cameras do, or a lot of about everything does now. But what you do is you plug it up, you run this program that will talk to it, you open it, you tell it to unlock the camera, and once you do that, then you're able to freely copy the video off, and you just click on the button that says copy video, and it asks you where you want to put it, and you just stick it on your hard drive somewhere. And what I did this last week, I went to Carowinds, which is our local park. Some people may be familiar with King's Dominion. I forget where that's at exactly, but it's a sister park to this. It's a Paramount Carowinds. It's a theme park with the roller coasters. Well, there's a ride called the Borg Assimilator. You lay down in it with your head towards the front of the actual car, and your feet are laying down, and you're flipping around and like a corkscrew, the whole works. You're flipping around in circles, and I took my camera with me and shot it straight out, so it looks like I'm coming down in a parachute as many times as I flip around in this thing. It was totally cool.
Did you put a link to the movie?
I'm going to put a link to the movie in the show notes as soon as I determine where I'm going to put it, but yes, I'll have it up available for everybody. Now, it's in XVID format, so if you need to, go and download the XVID codec at xvid.org, which is freely available codec to play it.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. I like that. Now, here is also another link to a game to teach you programming.
Did you see that?
No, I haven't played with it yet. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like life.
I was intrigued by it. Well, I was intrigued by the cover because it looked like it said int c, and you know, while c not equal to zero, that kind of thing. And I went, wow. I mean, just glancing at the picture, I saw code on a box. And I went, this is too good to be true.
I'd totally buy that.
Well, yes and no. The review was, it was sort of mediocre. Apparently, you roll the dice and you increment and you decrement, and it's supposed to teach you reality about programming and how to develop logic and you know there was an old board a game a long time ago that taught you COBOL and you know, some
ones. Hey, it looks like about it'll teach you about as much as programming as the game of life teaches you about life
or the driving game that we had that taught me about driving. You can't learn driving on a board game. I'm sorry.
Here, son. You know your license is next week. Here, go play this game.
No, yeah, it's a little cardboard thing. You got your license. Go to jail.
Yeah.
We'll put a link up to the discussion boards on BoardGameGeek.com. They went on about it a little bit about the author was applying for a patent rather than a copyright. And there was a discussion about, well, you can't really copyright a game. And like, well, you can't patent a game, is what they said. And said
hey,
yeah, you can,
don't
actually.
Don't tell Parker Brothers.
Exactly. In a lot of cases, you want to patent a game. You know, think about the Pop-O-Matic on Trouble. You know, if they hadn't patented that, oh my goodness, they'd be in sorry shape.
Yeah, I think some of those people on the message board need to actually go talk to the high-priced lawyers at Parker Brothers. What was that?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
That was bleeding through from Mark's side, who's currently muted, so nobody else heard that. Craig, you're hearing things again.
Oh. The voices in my head. The voices.
There's more voices in our heads than there are in the listeners, fortunately.
No kidding.
Now, Craig, you sent us a nice link to, what is the number 50, really?
What is the number 50? Well, in honor of the 50th show, I thought I would go look up a gift.
You gave me a gift because I have a thing for numbers. I don't know what it is. It's I love the definition. This is from Wikipedia. 50 is the number following 49 and preceding 51. Like, you needed a definition for that. But then it gets into some really obscure stuff. In mathematics, 50 is the smallest number that can be written as the sum of two squares in distinct ways. In two distinct ways. 50 is 1 squared plus 7 squared, or 5 squared plus 5 squared. It is also the sum of 3 squares. 3 squared plus 4 squared plus 5 squared. It is a Harshad number. I never heard that term before. But the number I have heard is, there is no answer to the equation Euler of x equals 50, making 50 a non-totient. Now you're going, what's an Euler? It's actually E-U-L-E-R. It looks like Euler, but it's Euler. Euler. No, it's Euler. It's kind of this little squiggly symbol, and I remember it vaguely from my dull math classes in college that, you know, I barely passed. Shh, we don't talk about that. There's also things in here about how it's related to astronomy, and there's a 50-pound note from Australia in here. The number of states in the USA is 50. Hawaii 50, TV Police Show, so-called because Hawaii is the 50th state. I mean, just all kinds of really obscure things about the number 50. So thank you very much, Craig. That was really entertaining.
You're welcome.
It's amazing the stuff you find on Wikipedia sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, we have to play one more quick ad to pay the bandwidth bills. And I will have a note near the end of the show about the ads. Things will be changing in the show format and lineup in the not-too-distant future. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Did you know that you can build a website in minutes at GoDaddy.com? You can, with Website Tonight. Just pick a website template and add your own text and graphics. That's it. Each Website Tonight account includes secure hosting, a free email account, and much more. It's the complete solution to create your very own website. And as a special offer from Tech Podcast listeners, you can take an additional $5 off of any order of $30 or more. All you have to do is enter tech code TECH4, that's T-E-C-H and the number 4, when you check out.
Welcome back. How are you?
So far, so good.
I've got another quick segment about tips from a project manager. things at work have changed around a little bit. Now that Bob is gone, I'm taking some of his previous functional manager duties. Not to say that I am a dysfunctional manager, but you can draw your own conclusions from that. Step one was to talk to all the customers who are directors and directors of engineering and site directors, things of that. So important first step is talk to your customers. Who are you interacting with? Who did your boss interact with? That kind of thing. Of course, you can take all this advice with a grain of salt from a self-proclaimed non-expert. Step two is talk to the peers. His peers, my peers, make sure everybody at that level is happy and taking care of business. And step three is talk to the boss. That would be his boss, or in my case, the president of the company, who is one level up. So getting a lot of communications going, as you can kind of get from this. The first three steps involve talking. Step four, document and collect the projects and issues that were going on. Step five is schedule regular updates on 1 to 4. And finally, one thing I had a hard time before was delegation, and now it doesn't seem to be a bit of a problem. I have to admit, I honestly like my job right now. It's very fun, very challenging, but this past week has been a refreshing change of pace. Now, I do have to be careful what I say here, because my boss also listens to this show, or I should say my former boss, who's also a neighbor, lives about 300 yards that-a-way, as I point to the semi-west. And will I become his replacement? No, I don't think so. I'm too green in the management field yet. And will I be a better asset to the new director, whenever that is? Sure. So, granted, this is a lot for a lot of new functional manager stuff, but the project manager on the business system project continues. We've had lots of good communications going on there, and we have a big demo going on this week. That's been going pretty well. We've had a guy in here for 3 days showing us all about the new business system. We are capturing the information. That's an interesting challenge going on, because as he's showing us things, we have to be watching out for the issues there. But now with Bob gone, I'm on my own. I'm directly plugged into the customer, who is the president, and it's been a very exciting ride. We are going to be right back after this message. Craig and the rest of the Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com have been working very hard on a new pet project, which we will unleash to the masses next week, but we wanted to give this little promo first. Hang on, we'll be right back. You're going to love this.
In a world where everything is nothing as it seems, and you are stuck with a network engineer and a hard-drinking janitor, and it's Halloween. Join us as we present the Server Room of Horrors. What secrets lurk in your server room? This is a Friends in Tech production at www.friendsintech.com.
Ooh, I'm shaking in my boots on that one.
Oh, let me go look at my boots in the closet and see if they're shaking.
It cuts to the quick.
Yep.
That one hits home, doesn't it?
Yeah, listen here. Hey, be sure to listen up next week. We're going to have a special Halloween presentation in our feed.
I'm going to have to... Is that what's in your feed?
Yeah.
We often
wonder that.
Don't
feed me.
All right. Geek Library contains one item.
We have the top 10 Linux commands every geek should know. So you need to go check that out if you're wanting to get into Linux or learn Linux or have been learning Linux. And can you guess what number 10 is, Chuck? You've probably already seen it.
I looked at the first three, so I don't know what number 10 is. Cat?
LS. LS.
I was going to say that's number one.
No. And guess what number 9 is?
Cat. Tail.
Well, close. Tar.
Crap.
So maybe somebody else should go look at this.
Said. Awk. Burp.
Sounds like you got a speech impediment.
Lisp.
All right. Anyway.
All right, on to the show giveaway. That's what everybody's been hanging around for, right? They want to know who got what and did they win? And if they won, how much they can get on eBay.
We're just giving away the Technorama playing cards and we're keeping the rest of the stuff ourselves.
Hey, you got to remember, this is our rookie year. Those playing cards will be worth something someday.
Yeah, that's right. $3 on eBay.
Give them the first prize. Who won?
All right, here we go. The first prize. Drum roll, please. Oh, Chuck, you don't have the drum roll.
No. No, well, okay. No drum roll.
There you go.
Keep going.
The Citrix Go-To Meeting one-year subscription worth $468 goes to
Jan
Peters.
Oh, you got the name right. Thank goodness. He's from Clausthal, Germany. Congratulations, Jan. Jan has been a long-time listener. In fact, almost all of the names on here I recognize as long-time listeners. So thank you very much. Way to go, Jan. Second prize is a full pass to the Expo. No airfare or anything. This is just the Podcast and Portable Media Expo in, what, about 3 weeks now?
Yeah. Yep, in Ontario, California.
Goes to, this is worth $250, courtesy of Tim Berquin. The winner is Daniel Hook from Eagan, Minnesota. Congratulations. There we also have three audio production packages worth $100 each from Madtown Aces. Give them the first one.
Their first one is Keo Wright from Hawaii.
Yay!
Yes.
Second one goes out to Bruce Barr, also known as Mr. Gadgets from Long Island, New York, who I believe is still lurking in the chat room. Is he not, Mark?
Huh?
Mark?
Get Mark.
Mark had to go outside, I guess.
He's on a smoke break.
Hello.
Mark, is Mr. Gadget still hanging out in the chat room?
Yes, he is.
All right, tell me one.
And
Mr. Gadget, you want?
We'll come back to Mark later after he's come back from outside.
Smooth as a clock.
Anyway. He's our third winner of that audio production package.
Our own Victor Cayal.
Yay!
From the PC User Podcast.
We have a software package of Life Balance that, you know, I didn't get a real name from this guy today, but we'll just call him Mad Marv. Mad Marv won $79 worth of software from Llama Graphics. Congratulations. And then we have two books to give away.
And the next prize is the Do-It-Yourself Guide from Todd Cochran. And the winner is Mike McBride from Columbus, Ohio.
He's the one-man IT shop who's no longer one man anymore, isn't he?
He's more like several-man IT shop now.
We also have a Podcasting for Dummies book due out in about a week, courtesy of Evo Terra. The winner is listed here as the King of Gondor. But as far as I know, the King of Gondor is... Well, it was his birthday today, wasn't it? Viggo Mortensen. No, he's not really Viggo Mortensen. And finally, give him the final prize. I'll do the drum roll this time.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
be. It's the iTunes gift certificate for $20. It goes to Mark Shepard, friend of Pedro, a.k.a. Chewbacca. Our podcast talker.
Mark, you won. Wake up. That blows the meters right out.
Hello.
Okay, go back in your hole.
That's enough from you.
Now, thank you. Congratulations, and everybody. Really, it has been a wonderful 50 shows. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for writing in all those emails. Thank you for continuing to listen, because if you didn't listen... Well, we'd probably still be sitting here talking to ourselves. You know, Craig and I would get together twice a week and geek out. But having it recorded is just a little more fun, isn't it? Especially when things go oh so smoothly.
Yeah, I think we do a lot of talking to ourselves anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Speak for yourself.
Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that we have a quick footnote about ads. We have to wrap up because we're at 40 minutes here already. But
I say we go over 50 minutes. Come on.
50 minutes and 50 seconds if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Ads will be going away for a little while in the show. Our contract with the techpodcast.com network is coming to an end, I believe, the 26th. So one more show with GoToMeeting and GoDaddy ads. And I'm sure, you know, a few of you are going like this. But you know what? Shh, quiet down. You know what? Those actually do help the bandwidth and help offset the cost because we have a significant investment in equipment, microphones, mixers, bandwidth, hosting, all that kind of stuff, and it does add up. And my wife gives me dirty looks, you know, until those checks roll in. So we are seeking other means of supporting this podcast. Possible other sponsors. We may have, you know, just a quick note at the beginning, or we may do a full production again. Donations are always appreciated, whether it's monetary or audio. Or yes, Craig?
If anybody wins the lottery and wants to drop a load of cash on us, feel free.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'd you know, feel guilty, but I'm sure I'd get over it.
In about 10 minutes.
10
oh,
seconds.
Oh, man, Will.
I don't know what to say except, yeah, sucker. Yeah.
It's like, can I get sprinkles for that? Sucker.
Now, before I go, we've had Steve sitting here the whole darn time and has said all but two words.
Maybe three. I don't know.
Okay, that's it. Bye, see ya.
That makes two of us, Chuck.
Yeah. Yes.
I know, I did kind of rattle on this one. I gotta pay more attention to my co-host. Sorry, man.
Who?
I forgive you.
You have a co-host, Chuck?
Yeah.
It's another voice that comes in on the headphones once in a while. It doesn't go
another
outside.
Another voice in your head. I'm the voice in the right channel.
And I'm the voice in the left. Steve, you were mentioning just before the show started that you're going to be producing a podcast for the Appleton Post Crescent shortly.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be an exciting time for us as, you know, podcast has really taken off with the niche people who are really into it, like you guys and your dedicated listeners. And I think as it tends to take off as a medium, I think more of the multimedia outlets. I work for the Appleton Post Crescent, which is the local newspaper here in Wisconsin. We're owned by Gannett, the same people who own USA Today and about 100 daily newspapers throughout the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of our intention to you know, go out there and take the credibility of our news gathering operations and deliver to not only the people in Northeast Wisconsin, but take advantage of the web and reach the international listeners. I think it's incredible that you guys get so many listeners that are across the pond, as you will, over in mm-hmm. Europe and in other countries. So I think it's really an exciting medium, and we're looking forward to getting into it.
It certainly flattened the world for me. I mean, it just my mind is constantly... Man. In Malaysia's time zone, in mm-hmm. Belgium's time zone, and you know, I have to think, what time are we doing the show, and who's listening, and where is it?
I do want to say that the one thing about podcasting that's, I guess, on a personal level, is I've ended up making so many good friends, even in just the United States. You know, I've got friends in, you know, Wisconsin now, Seattle, California, you know, people like, or Tennessee, you know, all the that you know, you just wouldn't meet any other way. I've been on the internet for, you know, 10 years or 15, 12 years now.
And you've got such a good voice for it, too.
Well, thank you.
Isn't it awesome? Wow. I'd have him do a spot for this show.
I can do that. I can help you out. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I think it's an exciting medium, and I think it's great that we have people. And like you said, it really becomes a small world. You really develop these connections on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Because you get to know the personalities involved, and I think that's what's truly exciting about it. It brings it to a personal level for the listener.
I'm excited because now we can have an Appleton meetup.
There you go.
There'll be two of you now.
Yes. Downtown at the local pub. Yes.
I felt like I was Daniel Boone out here in the wilderness with my coonskin hat and microphone.
That was last week.
Things change so fast.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're just about at the end. I will be out for show number 52. Just a quick note, as I mentioned, aww, I will be on vacation. Craig will be taking over next Wednesday.
Craig gets to talk.
All you want there, buddy.
Woohoo!
You can rip on me and I won't know till Sunday night.
Yeah.
I hope to be back in time for Sunday night's show number 53. I have prepared a couple segments for him already. You know, those pre-canned, easy on this day in tech history things. We
pre-canned, you do those on the fly, man.
We have a special interview lined up. I don't want to give away too much because it's not yet all solidified, but keep listening. I think you're going to really enjoy some of the things we've got lined up in Technorama in the upcoming days and weeks. When we have
we're at show number 50. It's all downhill from here.
And we get some buttons to play with. It's so much fun. We'll have more information on that. When we do, we'll let you know. Until then, Craig's going to take us out.
Until then, you can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can email me at craig@chuckchat.com. And don't forget the website with the kick butt chat room and webcams and all that good stuff and our links to our Cafe Prod site. And we hope to be here for another 50 million thousand shows.
Can't tell you how much we really appreciate everybody listening and stay subscribed. And remember, subscribe doesn't mean it costs a lot of money.
Without you guys, it would be just us.
And that would be a sad, sad affair. Do you have any words of wisdom, Craig?
I do. You know, actually, it's more of a nugget of knowledge. The definition of a programmer is an organism that turns coffee into software.
Ew. That doesn't sound good. Till next time, binary high five.
101.